I have no illusions that anything I can say would convince white nationalists to flip their political sides. Nevertheless, I think it's important to engage them. There is, of course, a strong moral argument based on the Enlightenment reflected in the Declaration of Independence that all of us are born equal. But let me see if I can engage anyone with arguments based on their own self-interest. First, I don't know how many of the white nationalists have had their DNA checked by 23andMe or similar organizations. They might find that their own backgrounds are multicultural, much like the rest of us, and I'm not sure how many of the white nationalists want to reject or deport their own grandparents or other ancestors. Beyond that, racial, religious, and ethnic nationalism is basically what is called, in language stemming from game theory, a zero-sum game. That's to say, we have a pie of specific size and fight about how to cut it up. But that's a faulty premise. In fact, the larger the group that participate in the productive process, the more there is for everyone to do. The success of this country was based on our own common market among the states from the very beginning, from the Canadian to the Florida border. That gave us a big advantage and propelled this country into the forefront economically within a few years. The European Union was developed and has been prosperous for much the same reason. And there's plenty of factual data that multicultural workforces lead to expanding their businesses much more than homogeneous ones. It's easy to look at a single job and notice who has it and who might have had it, but without looking at whether that job and many others would exist in a narrower market, one does not have anything close to a full picture. So I don't think trade among multiple different cultures or the development of complex multicultural economies are zero-sum games. I do think they expand opportunities for all. And the economic risk from trying to cut oneself off from that is stagnation and decline. I have another concern about rejecting multiculturalism. China, not to mention the rest of Asia. One of the things that Obama realized, a realization no less true or false if one objects to the color of the man, was that the nations of Asia were focused on their economic advancement, were working hard to grow, and were quite successful at it. That was behind his hope to pivot to Asia. But our own treatment of people from all the Asian countries as visitors, residents, and citizens can strengthen or weaken our relations and our cooperation in foreign and economic policy. Perceived as racist, we can become the target of attack. Nations like China and India have the size and firepower to be problems. In briefs to the U.S. Supreme Court in the early 1950s, both the Democratic Truman administration and the Republican Eisenhower administration argued for an end to the separate but equal doctrine, partly because it made international diplomacy difficult. I don't even want to talk about the possibility of internal war. Both for our country and for each of us, white nationalism is a dangerous mistake. After writing this, we took our grandchildren to Tanglewood for a young people's concert. At one point, the BSO played Leonard Bernstein's music for the rumble in West Side Story, a retelling of Romeo and Juliet set in Manhattan. The rumble pitted the White Jets gang against the Puerto Rican Sharks. It ends in universal disaster. In the suite that Bernstein created from the music, as Tony lies dying in Maria's arms, the harsh, jagged music for the rumble dissolves into the lyrical, wistful music of Somewhere There's a Place for Us. Somewhere indeed. My granddaughter caught tears rolling down my face. Bernstein, like Beethoven before him, believed that music could somehow bring us together. I wish it were so.